they're following. They're following was at the New Valley meeting, the fifth Sunday in March 1974.
I will lift the Lord in the word of prayer. My gracious and heavenly Father, Thou hast been so kind, gracious, merciful, and long-suffering to us, Lord, all the days and years of our life. To see to realize that in Thy eternal wisdom and purpose that we gather together this morning, that exactly as Thou hast seen it, even before the world began. And so Thou knowest, O Lord, all of our needs. Thou knowest how helpless we are of ourselves, and how that we have been made to realize that we cannot worship Thee of ourselves, because our worship in spirit and in truth. And so we have experienced in days past, we have many times, and Thou was pleased to enable us by Thy Spirit to be lifted above the things of this time, world, and time, and to behold and to be made to rejoice that somehow Thou hast been pleased to look upon us and smile and have mercy and pity, and to cause that we should be glad that this world is not our permanent home. But I ask ordained, O Lord, that Thy people should be brought outside darkness, which they are in their flesh, and into the marvelous light of the Son of God. I ask ordained and I ask loved and chosen Thy people from all the tribes of the earth, those that Thou hast loved before the word of God, and gave to Thy Son, and gave Thy Son to them, that He should come here, and by the one offering of Himself, deliver them from all their sins and their iniquities, and give them a hope and an assurance that though they are vile sinners in their flesh, yet Thou hast loved them, and Thou hast provided for their redemption. O Lord, we humbly ask for Your sanction, and yet we confess that we so often forget the source of all of our blessings, the source of all of our benefits. And sometimes we take it as to the matter of course without feeling to give Thee thanks as we ask. But Lord, Thou knowest how weak we are in our flesh. Thou hast said to and unto one of Thy people in days of old that Thy grace is sufficient for Thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, Lord, we realize that in our weakness, Thou dost make manifest Thy strength by not forsaking, not casting out those who are so weak and so impossible. Because Thou hast loved them, we realize that we, that our weakness cannot understand. And sometimes we are forced to realize what a great love that Thou hast manifested towards us, in that Thou would condescend, as it were, and come down from Thy high and lofty habitation, and think kindly, mercifully, upon Thy people who have transgressed Thy noble law. And so we have been made to feel, as Thou didst enable Thy servant John of old to say, "Behold, what manner of life the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God." And along with that, O Lord, we realize that it does not yet appear what we shall be. But Thou hast given us hope, and Thou hast sometimes given us assurance. And though we are sinners and death is pronounced upon us for the soul that sins will die, and we must go, we must die, we must go to the real life. And yet, O Lord, thou hast provided that we shall be no longer in the resurrection conformed to the image of our earthly father, but rather that we should be conformed as thou hast predestinated thy people to be conformed to the image of our dear son. And being conformed in the resurrection to the image of Jesus, we shall be then fitted and prepared for heaven and about the glory. We realize so many times that we cannot prepare ourselves. We realize, always notice to realize so many times that it is by thy grace, and by thy grace alone, that we are what we are. By thy grace we have all things that we have. By grace, O Lord, shall we be enabled to first to see our course all the days of our lives, that thou hast promised not to leave it, nor to forsake it, but to be a very present help in every time of need. And so as we come this morning, O Lord, we see you to realize that thine eternal hand has ordained that we leave only a few, but that doesn't bother us. It lies within thy hand. We know that whatever thou doest is right and good. Because, O Lord, thou hast said at the mass and in the writings of one of thy servants, fear not, even Jesus quoted this, fear not, live as life, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Only, Lord, as it is thy will to show us from time to time, make thyself manifest in our hearts, that we might realize, O Lord, that in spite of our weaknesses, in spite of our fewness of number, thou hast ordained and thou hast enabled thy people to contend earnestly for that faith that thou hast once delivered to the saints. And it's deserved then that they have not turned aside, is following after every wind of doctrine, to follow after those things which seem good to the flesh and men. But thou hast in our experience killed us to the love of those things in the world, made us to love thee and the doctrine of God our Savior. We say thee, Father, this morning that it seems good to thee, as thou wilt remember each one of us and now bowed here in thy presence. We realize that we stand in thy presence. We realize upon earth everything about us, our need, our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and yet thou hast loved us and thus loved us. We say we do continue to go with us, Father, choosing all of our things that start us in this other journey that we have allotted to each one of us in this life, that we might feel sometimes, though often we see maybe that's how that is forgotten, the gracious. And yet sometimes we realize that even in our midst of our sorrows and our troubles, our oft-times and infirmities, we're glad that we're in thy hands. We're in good hands, that we're in the hands of our eternal God. So Lord, remember these that are here this morning to say this. And mercy, not together with all of thy people, wherever they are gathered together this day. But we realize that thou hast the people in every nation kindred, tribe, tongue, and their heaven. And thou hast loved them, thou hast provided for them eternal life. And thou hast provided for them all the necessary things to sustain their natural lives, as long as it is thy will to keep them here in this world. Be with us, therefore, O Lord, as we live. Be with us and give us hearts of confidence under thee. That thou hast been so kind, so good, and so long suffering to us, Lord. Be with us, therefore, Father, while we live in this world. And when it comes our time to lie down and rest, to go to where of all the living, may we see you in thy presence, so that we shall not be afraid to go home, but rather desirous to go home where we shall come into the fullness and feel and realize the fullness of those things that we've had just a little taste of heretofore. Lord, may thy name have all praise, honor, and glory. Now and evermore, we thank you, Jesus Christ. Amen. I suppose that the greatest difference, or the great difference, between the doctrine that the Lord's people are given to believe, the doctrine that is revealed in the hearts of the Lord's people, is that salvation is by the grace of God without the works of men. I said, I believe it was last Sunday, I thought about it a while ago, I think it was last Sunday, that we in our flesh always want to be paid for what we do. And it is a natural thought and a natural desire, and I feel with everybody, not only the worldly folk, but the large people, it is the thought while we're still in the world, and still without God and without hope in the world, as we were, that we feel that if we would do good, the Lord would bless us for it. And it would be an evidence, as most people feel, an evidence that we desire to have the mercy, obtain the mercies of our God. Now, as I've spoken so many times, and always David said, I believe David or Solomon, said there's a way of seeing the life of men, but they end all of the ways of death. No one said it's not everyone who said, Lord, Lord, I shall enter into the kingdom. And so, my brethren, in spite of all the contrary doctrines that are preached in the world and believed in the world today, our God has ordained the way, the only way, and he will save, or has saved, his people from their sin. And it is not by putting upon them an impossible task that they should begin a work in themselves, whereby that is we saw, we were told, and we studied, I was, that if we were going to do certain things, so we'd let the Lord know we wanted to be saved, and then he would do the rest. And that isn't it, my brethren, as far from it. Because except that there is a work of the Spirit of God in the hearts of poor, dead, hell-deserving sinners, beginning the work, every sinner will remain exactly where he is, dead in trespasses and in sin, and still be, as the result of Gentiles, in speaking to them that they were without God and without hope in the world. So, the first thing, it seems to me, in the Christian spirit, the child of God's spirit, the first thing is that the Lord opens up to that person's understanding that they are dead in trespasses and in sin. Every one of you that has been baptized, the doctrine of God our Savior, the doctrine of salvation by grace, going through that experience of that period in your life, in which the Lord, by His Spirit, shall give it to you as the loudest speaker you've ever lived, and worthy of God's notice, and you're in a terrible condition, because you haven't known it before. Now, all experiences, not exactly alike, but all of them teach the same thing, and every child of God learns the same thing. Whatever his experiences are, according to the will of God, he learns that in me, as the apostle said, that is in my flesh, that there is no good thing. Now, if you, my friend, know and are ready to confess and do confess, all times that in you, that is your pastor qualified, that is in my flesh, that there is no good thing, Then you may be sure, at least sometimes you can be sure, when this matter is foremost and uppermost in your heart and being, you may be sure that the Lord has begun a work in you. And another thing you may be sure of, the apostle said that he was sure, he was made it clear to realize this very truth, that he that has begun a good work in you, now that's the work, the good work that's begun in the child of God, has begun in you, he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And so there is no such thing as God beginning a work in a child, in one of his children, and then abandoning that work. No, because he loved his people as it is proclaimed, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, the loving kindness that I bear thee. And so it matters not what deep trials and tribulations and sorrows, physically, mentally, or whatever else it may be. But each one of us has to go through it. Doubt and fear and trembling, wonderment. The Lord is still there. He hasn't forgotten. You know, so often I beg the Lord to take this people, take us by the hand, to lead us. Confessing that we each one, little children, needing the grace, needing our father, our mother, as the natural children to lead us and guide us to God's death. So we need our heavenly Father to take us, as it were, by the hand and lead us and provide for us to keep us from stumbling and falling. And I think of this, now that I've heard something, put your hand in the hand of a man from Galilee. Well, brethren, that hit some people just about the right place. But that isn't what the child of God needs. How can we put our hand in the hand of the still the watcher of the man from Galilee? Brethren, my doctrine is, my hope is, that the man from Galilee will reach down, as it were, and taken us by the hand, and he leaves us beside the still water. And so, my brethren, the difference between the doctrine of God our Savior is one that the Lord does for all, and the those who cannot do for themselves. And on the other hand, that the Lord requires men to do things, and then he will add to it, provide which it covers the blockage. But that is not the doctrine of God our Savior. That's not the doctrine of Scripture. No, of course, I was reading last evening a very, shall we say, learned work of Neander, who is a German writer. This is a translation. I didn't read too much of that time since. And he said in that God was doing all the things for everybody in the world. That isn't his language, but that's exactly what he's talking about. That God was doing everything that was necessary for everybody in the world to be saved and come into the knowledge of truth. And I thought when I read that, you're a learned so-called theologian, yes. You know the doctrine of men. I wonder if in all the doctrine that is revealed in the hearts of Lord's people, they realize that God never did say that he loved the whole earth, but rather as in the type and the shadow of the matter, he loved Israel. And selected them, chose them out of every nation in the world. From all the other nations, separated them from the other nations and loved them. Not because they were good or better or more righteous or anything like that, but rather to the contrary, they were the fewest of all people. And I might add the most unworthy, because God looked upon them and had pity and compassion for them. It is, my brethren, that Israel, the spiritual Israel, are composed of that number, that full, complete number that the Lord chose before the world began, who did not have the ability of themselves to choose to serve the Lord, or to choose to accept Jesus Christ, no, not that. But those whom the Lord is loved, he sends forth and he sent forth his Spirit in your heart. And Paul, we understand, still in the very august presence of the God of heaven, the supreme God of the whole earth and the maker and the creator of the heavens and the earth, still declares at the mouth of his Son Jesus Christ, all that the Father has given me shall come unto me, and he who cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. That's the doctrine, brethren. Where will you find it? Who preaches the doctrine? Only those who have come under the teaching and the tuning of the Spirit of God to bring them to see that are in me. I am a perfect savior so far as all things spiritual concerns. Some of us are made to feel like we're perfect savior so far as natural things are concerned, in so much that we're dependent upon God to bless us with food, with clothing, with everything that we have. Not to say anything at all about our spiritual blessings, because we stand in the need of natural blessings and spiritual blessings, and only the hand and the love of our God can provide us. Brethren, I read here this morning, I believe it was this morning, that I'm going to read a little bit out of Hebrews, the 7th chapter of Hebrews. And whether I say anything about it tonight, I hope it'll be in connection with what I've already said. Therefore, perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, however, that you are. The central part to that, as I read that, I believe it was this morning, was that the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of the better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. It is perfectly consistent, I tell you, I think, but I having first been shown by the Spirit of God in our experience, that we are dead in trespasses and sins without God and without hope in the world, it is perfectly consistent then for the doctrine of God our Savior to be that God did not give the law, Lord Moses, or even the ceremonial law. He did not give a law whereby that if we would keep it, we would be saved. Because it's already admitted, we could already admit that we could not keep the law, but that we, all the experience of our brethren in days past, from Moses on down, from Adam on down, I should say, proved that they were not able to keep any of the law. Impossible to keep any of the law. And yet God demanded perfect obedience. But the wonderful and glorious thing of it is, my brethren, that while we could not keep any of the law, we could not obey any of the law, God provided his Son for us and gave his Son to us, that he kept the law perfectly for every one of us. Therefore, God, having loved his people, gave his Son, Jesus Christ, on his humility of Melchizedek, of whom Moses did not speak anything of the tribe, of the priesthood, that he was of the tribe of Judah. Therefore, the salvation did not come, it could not come, and it was told it did not come by the tribe of them that was made priest by Moses under the command of God. But there was this Melchizedek that arose up back in those early days who was not after Aaron the priesthood. But he was of another order, who was made a priest forever. Yes, Jesus was made a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So if Jesus did not come under the law, he did not come as a priest under the law, but rather he came as a one of the glorious priests of the order of Melchizedek, whereby God sent him down to do for his people what the law could not possibly do, because the law was weak through the flesh. You know, the law was the law. The law was weak through the flesh, and the flesh, the man never kept one single iota precept of that law. And yet God desired it perfect to be. And so God sent his Son here. And he showed some to those to whom he gave us to realize that in me, that is myself, and was never changed. He told them that I have loved you with an everlasting God. I have given you my Son, that you came here, suffered, and bled and died in your room, not as a substitute. Some people talk about Jesus dying as a substitute, not that, my brethren, because in some wonderful way we're born of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Therefore, he, taking upon himself the likeness of our flesh, and that's it. He came here for the specific purpose of suffering, bleeding, and dying, that his righteousness should be, shall I say, his amana, given to us. And it is in his righteousness that we, my brethren, stand before the God of heaven, not in our own righteousness, we have not. Every if God required us to stand in our own righteousness, none of us ever stand in the face of our God, because we could only say, oh Lord, have mercy upon your sinners. That's the only way. And that's the way the Lord, the Spirit of God enables these Christian names, the Lord's people to come. Have mercy, Father. I'm an undone sinner. For Jesus Christ came, he said, you know, do not be my will. But the will of him that sent me, this is the Father's will that sent me. But of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. But to raise it up again at the last day. He said, Darren, the wonderful doctrine is, the wonderful truth is, that God required perfect obedience, but no man ever lives in the of the Adam race could ever do a thing in the world to justify himself. But God gave his Son as the only sacrifice, as the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so, by brethren, that is the reason we preach, that's the reason the scriptures are called, and the only thing to be called, salvation by the grace of God, because God gave his Son as a sacrifice to redeem all of the people from all their sins. Now, you remember we said, he died, he was delivered, Jesus was delivered for our offenses. He arose for our justification. That's the most beautiful language, most beautiful doctrine that I think I ever heard about. I remember speaking down in Texas some years ago, and I touched upon the doctrine about him. He arose for our justification. And the Lord blessed me, I feel, at least to some of them said, I never thought of that before. Some of the preachers said, I never thought of that before. I don't know whether I had or not. But my brethren, he died, he was delivered. I just reported he died, and he did die for our offenses, but he was delivered. What a difference between being delivered for our offenses and being taken out and by wicked hands slain for our offenses. He was delivered. The hand of God delivered him. And Jesus was delivered willingly because he was desirous, anxious to do the will of the Father. And so he was delivered for our offenses. God delivered him. It being said, my brother, that the only way of redemption could come is by a sacrifice. And Jesus was that sacrifice that the Lord could call, not the blood of bulls and goats, a lamb to go, but rather the blood of the precious blood of Jesus. And so, my brethren, there it is. God loves his people. Even when they were dead, even when they, as my favorite expression, I feel sometimes I say we do too, sometimes I do. My favorite expression is that there's not a one of us that is worthy that God should look upon us to any degree of severe compassion. And we're not. And yet God loves his people, he may deliver his Son for our offenses, and he brought him up, he brought him up again. He arose again for our justification. Now, I don't understand. I can't explain how they were justified, how they were washed in the blood of the Lamb and made white as snow. But I do know that the efficacy of the blood of Jesus, as it was applied by the Spirit of God in the hearts of his people, he makes them to be clean, ever his clean. And the Lord accepts us, shall I put it that way, which may be given a good expression. But the Lord received the sacrifice of Jesus. And when Jesus said, here be our Father, all thou hast given me, I've lost nothing. He hasn't lost a thing in the world. And some people, not among our people, I hope, I saw today, there's a lot of people say today I'm going to be lost tomorrow. But every one of them predicates their salvation upon what they teach it. And I say to you that everyone that builds such truth on the predicate, their redemption up on the Western preacher, every one of them will go to hell. But every one of those that have come under this healing influence and I feel the Spirit of our God, every one of those who have the one I washed in the blood of the Lamb and made white as snow, every one of those for whom Jesus was delivered, but arose and gave for our justification. My brethren, if it's so clean, we're washed so clean in the blood of the Lamb that nobody can ever find a figure with faith under one of these in any age of the world that ever lived. You were once a sinner, because they're justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. And therefore, this is what makes your salvation sure, certain, and not when maybe you're saved today and not tomorrow. No. And thank my God, my government, and your God that salvation is today and gone tomorrow. But I love you with an everlasting God. And therefore, your salvation, the law made nothing perfect. No, it couldn't make anything perfect. But the bringing in of the better hope did. When did that better hope brought in? What is it made manifest to you? It was brought in and the reality of Jesus Christ died. It goes on farther back than that. It was brought in when the eternal will and purpose of God decreed to send his son here at the rock. And then when Jesus Christ came, suffered blood and died and arose from the dead, what he replied in you, my brethren. Oh, you were written in the Lamb's book of life, written in the Lamb's book of life, in the foundation of the world. It is applied to you, then you are a sorry cause to watch. You have to see yourself as without sin and given the hope of eternal life. And you made the child who was thy Lord, that was the end of the day. God, and he's a Greek, wonderful, mysterious, loyal, pure, special, strange that God has provided for us. And he hasn't left it to us to whether we want to be or not want to be, not in the wish of the will, not at all, but he simply speaks and is done. He conforms us to his will. He makes us glad. As somebody said, did you know that a drowning man will reach out and try to take hold of a straw to be seen? Oh, my brethren, some people say that God is offering, that the Spirit is offering salvation to some people in the earth don't have it, so what we see. That's still the work to the point. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a God who loves his people, who knows his people, every one of them. And in his own good times, he sends forth his Spirit into their hearts and speaks every bit of the opposition. Everything that we ever stood in opposition to these things, the truth of the Lord Jesus is removed. And that's what you want, is what Jesus has given you. What the Spirit not just simply offering you, but that which the Spirit brings and implies and just gives it right into your innermost and holy and most being, and you rejoice. As God has had mercy upon us, our sinners. Brethren, this is where it is. And it is here. And I'm glad I didn't make God be with you.
And sorrow flows from our eyes, and
draw out from that path. In place of envy, strong and pride, I wish you thought about. To each son is better fairly high, and so are brothers less. In love and one life is free, to every greatest place. And in the street, from greatest freedom in every action goes. Love is Lord and sin is bound to happy souls of God. And being Lord of heaven is bound to his bosom, so is our best chance.
Thank you.